and welcome to Your Music, Your Way, the powerful path of improvisation for accessing innate genius and liberating your essential gifts. I'm really excited to be here with Mark Romero today. We're going to have a fun conversation about all kinds of things, no telling, because we're improvisers, right? So you never know. I just met Mark recently, and we had a really enjoyable conversation on the phone the other day, and I'm really looking forward to this more in-depth one right now. As a part of this summit that we're all participating in, that involves improvisation, the power of sonic improvisation using sound as we create in a moment and step into our more whole selves as thoughtful and creative beings. And it strikes me in the world that we live in these days that there's a lot of unknowns. This is Election Day, it's Super Tuesday. We're doing this interview, and so there's a whole lot of unknowns right now in our world. And I think that one of the most essential skills that we humans could possibly learn at this point in time is to learn how to navigate the unknown with mastery. And there are people in the world who are more conscious of that particular. That particular skill and that particular process, because they do music improvisation professionally, they do it on an ongoing basis, and they've thought a lot about what that experience can be like and can articulate it a lot. The truth is that we're all making stuff up all the time. You know, anytime you're in a conversation, right, you're improvising. You know, we're not reading scripts when we go out and play or talk to people. So we're actually always doing it all the time, and it's really innate in us. But there are some of us who know more about that process consciously than others, and Mark is one of those people. So I'm really excited to have you with us. I'm looking forward to seeing how the things that you know can help all of us to apply some of these skills and this wisdom and this awareness so that we can apply these skills in other aspects of our lives, whether at work or in our families or in the political world, whatever. How can we bring more of our creative capacity to bear in the world? So that's what this summit is about, and that's why Mark is here, is to talk about some of these things. So Mark is an internationally renowned energy healer and guitarist. His music was proven by a former top consultant to NASA to tune the body's energy field. And out of this discovery emerged a revolutionary music and energy healing technology that is helping people around the world to revitalize their health and open to more abundance, deepen their relationships, and become powerful catalysts for transformation and change on the planet. And that is so what this whole thing is about. That's what this whole summit is about. That's what I think my mission in the world is about, is to help us all do this kind of thing that Mark describes so beautifully. And so today, Mark is going to be talking about playing beautiful music throughout your life. So, Mark, welcome so much. I'm really excited to finally meet you and to be talking with you today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to have a opportunity to hang out and jam a little.
All right. Cool. I'm actually sitting here at my piano. I didn't tell you that, but I've got right here. So, you know, we can jam a little bit later.
If you want. Awesome.
And we'll jam with words too. So here we go.
Sounds good.
So I'd like to start with just, you know, giving you a chance to tell us a little bit about kind of what got you started in all this, and maybe kind of what was your, you know, tell us a little bit. I know you kind of came into this work kind of out of, what would it be, left or right field, you know, from other parts of your business career and so on. And I'm curious, you know, kind of about that part and like what got you interested in this whole idea of improvisation and sound.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting because I joke with people. I tell them, you know, hey, I'm a recovered CEO. You know, I was 19 years in the high tech industry. You know, I think as with many of us, we get presented with a model of what we're supposed to do in our lives. You know, you go to school, you get out of school, you go get a job, you work your way up the corporate ladder or the ladder, you know, and of course, the higher you move up, the more money you make, and the more money you make, the more happier, fulfilled, joyful, and all that stuff you're going to be. And so, you know, my father had set that example, and I kind of followed along and started entry level and worked my way all the way up to president of a multi-million dollar business. And so the only problem was once I got up there, I'm like going, okay, wait a second. Where's the happiness? Where's the fulfillment? Where's the vibrant health? Where's the joy? Why do I feel like something's missing here? That something's wrong? You know, no matter what I do, how much money I make, I can't seem to find this thing called fulfillment and joy. And so, I think with many of us, I'm coming up on 19 years of being married, and my wife, Lara, always has this ability to be able to communicate these nuggets of truth. Sometimes I get slapped upside the head with them, and sometimes they're presented in a nice soft way. In this case, I got it kind of like in my face, and I came home one night and she just said, I don't care how much you're making, how successful your business is. I look in your eyes and you're dead, man. When are you going to have the courage to do something that's more in alignment with your dreams and your passions and
Wow.
what you're here to do?
Well.
And, and like any good husband, I wanted to argue, find fault with what she said. But like any really good husband, you realize, dude, she's right again. Just own it. And yeah, exactly. It's like 3 to 572. I'm way behind on the score there of nuggets of truth and stuff. And so she was right. And so I decided to leave. I wanted to go find something that I felt could help contribute back to the planet, help people to evolve and unfold and tap into their greatness, and to rise above all the craziness that seems to be going on, especially in today's world. But I mean, it's craziness been going on for a long time, and really help people to open up to a whole new level of possibility, where they could bring their passion, their song, their music, their callings out and express them into the world in a higher way.
Yeah, beautiful. And can you, when was that moment, if you don't mind me asking, like how long ago did that sort of that nugget of truth sink in?
Well, it was like it started sinking in, I guess it would be in like the late 90s. And then, I started getting the messages. But of course, how could I? That would be irresponsible for me to do something like that, and so I didn't listen to those callings until it got to the point where my level of dissatisfaction was so bad. So I actually left in 2002 and started to pursue what I thought at that particular point in time. To become like a motivational speaker guy and get out and start speaking and pontificate words of wisdom and be able to change the world that way. And that's how I started my journey way back when,
Interesting. So what a powerful story. The sort of the way that evolution happens in us, or whatever growth happens in us. You get this calling. But then, it becomes an inner struggle for quite a while. It's like, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, that makes sense. But that would be irresponsible, or that would be crazy, or that would be, maybe like not work. That work. It's like a whole lot of unknowns in the midst of all that. And I imagine that at some point that sense of, certainly has happened in my life several times, career changes for me or shift changes. It's like it's almost like the decision has to happen before you can know what it's gonna result in.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is no, I think life laughs sometimes at our biggest and best agendas and time frames and stuff like that. And this certainly unfolded in a way that was completely contrary to how I had envisioned. Music was not part of that agenda when I first left. I was going to do, actually, I was going to do music and golfing events. That's what I started actually doing. And then I realized that I could play guitar better than I could golf, and so I
Less so in
started
terms
you.
as well.
So I'm like, going, okay, maybe I should just do music and speaking instead. And then, of course, from there, opened up all kinds of things as far as discovering, my innate ability to be able to work with energy and to do music and energy healing work and stuff, and really open up the door to a whole nother level of how you could help people transform their lives.
Oh, that is so cool. So cool. Why do you think it's so important to bring harmony to energy? It's like you sort of talked about that energy. What is it about sound or music that can be some sort of a healing influence in a body?
Well, I think to really get an understanding of that, we have to kind of take a little step back and look at, realize we're not who we see in the mirror. That's just the tip of the iceberg of who we are. I mean, we're these amazing, vibrant, energetic expressions of universal energy, whether you call it quantum physicists like to call it the field. The more the esoterics you get, the field of pure consciousness, or the grid is another name. It's called all kinds of different things, called God, universe, source, energy, whatever, but we're expressions. Everything's made up of energy, and everything vibrates at different frequencies. And if you look at us, we're kind of, being a guitar, so I'll use the guitar as a metaphor. We're kind of like guitars. We have facets of our lives. Those are the strings. We take action through those facets. That's the strumming and the plucking. And then, of course, we produce results. We express ourselves. That's our music that we put out into the world. And you, of course, being a musician also, we could be the best musicians in the world. I could be, play better than Andre Segovia. But if that instrument's not in tune, am I ever going to reach my potential? Am I ever going to truly be able to express what I have the capability of expressing? No. You can play like the best player in the world, but if that instrument is not in tune and it's in disharmony, you're never going to reach your full potential. And so it is essential, especially in this world today, that we find a way to literally tune the strings of our life expression so that we can bring our music, our calling, our authentic expression out to a higher level. Otherwise, everything we do is irrelevant. We're going to struggle. We're going to have reoccurring negative patterns. We're going to have health challenges. We're going to have different things that show up in our experience until that we find a way to be able to restore harmony within ourselves. When we do that, we open up to all kinds of possibilities of what we're capable of, and really begin to open up to our true unlimited potential.
That's such a beautiful way of putting that. I've never thought of the guitar string needing to be in tune in order for, regardless of the talent that you have or the technical ability that you have or even the artistic ability, if the instrument that we're playing, if the bodies that we're using, if the channels that we're using to express ourselves aren't in alignment with all the other parts, it's not going to come across as well as it could.
Absolutely.
So I would like to hear you talk a little bit about, your process of did you when you when did you learn the guitar? When did you first learn guitar? And along the way in your process of playing guitar, I imagine if you were like me, it was like I spent a lot of time with, playing like copying James Taylor, like, then it was like vinyl. So you like pick up the needle and scoot it back and try the lick and then scoot it back again. It's like, oh no, he was playing this note. And and so there was a lot of that when I was a teenager. And so, learning to play other people's music, the way I put it. And so how much of your time early on and along your guitar journey were you playing other people's music? And then at which point did you kind of start getting in and kind of just tinkering on your own and improvising?
Well, I started in high school. I actually went to go see a Pink Floyd concert. I saw Pink Floyd The Wall in concert. It's like my most favorite band.
Wow, you
You
saw that
know,
concert. I never saw that.
saw the original concert way back in, I guess that would have been 1980. And I'm like, oh man, I gotta get my dad to get me a guitar for my birthday, So I proceeded to do the water dripping on rock thing, dad guitar, I'm changing my name to guitar until you get me one for my birthday. And he did. He got me this little Yamaha guitar, and I started learning how to play. And so of course, yeah, I started off, taking lessons, and I got these like Eagles Made Easy for Guitar book and Cat Stevens Made Easy for Guitar, and I think maybe Neil Young was in the mix, and of course had to learn some Floyd tunes and stuff like that. So yeah, so I just started, playing other people's stuff. And then it's interesting because I can get up in front of a group of 1,000 people in the room and feel like a fish in water. When you put a guitar in my hand and put two people in the room, I became like this shy kid. So it's interesting about your question about shifting over from playing other people's stuff to my own. I started realizing, to me, it was scary to be playing other people's stuff because if you messed up, everybody would know.
Everybody knows.
But if it's my own song, man, I could mess up and nobody would know. So I actually started composing my own stuff. And then from there, I started expanding more, not really about learning other people's stuff, but learning other modalities of playing. So, I studied jazz, I studied flamenco, I studied classical, rock and roll, of course. And then I just kind of fused them all into my own little type style. And then really started getting into improvisation and composing musical pieces on the fly.
Uh-oh, you just freezed up. You are still frozen. Once you
And
said
with
on the fly, I lost you. So
Oh, it looks like we kind of froze up a little bit, huh?
yeah. You're back now.
Okay, so
Once you
where
started.
I composed pieces of music on the fly and just started to kind of make things up as we went along. And I really found a lot of joy in improvisation and playing from creative inspiration.
I really appreciate that path. It sound I imagine from the people that I've talked to and my own experience, it seems like that is kind of a that natural way that or I don't know if it's the natural way, it's the way that most of us learn music. You know, we learn by copying other people and it's like, oh, that sounds great, I want to do that. And so we kind of learn along the way that this is what good music sounds like. You know, that's what good music sounds like. I want to do that. And so it's like, how can I do that? And so we sort of automatically go to this place of you know, parroting. And that's how we learn language. I mean, it's sort of probably a normal, that's what I kind of meant by the natural part is like we learn how to speak by listening to other people speak and stuff like that. And I imagine that the cost in the way that a lot of us learn how to play music is that we end up learning that what is good or what is right or what is a musician is determined by how well you can parrot somebody else's music. And you know, and so like if you can really nail some lick from, you know, it's like it's fine, but like you say, if you mess it up, everybody in the room knows you messed it up. And so there's always this kind of pressure about like needing to do something that's kind of outside of who we really are. But then as you described, once you open up to this possibility of expressing your own music and playing your own thing and doing your own career instead of your dad's career, then there's all kinds of possibilities there. So I love
And really the potentials for new discoveries, that things that you would never know until you kind of step into that space. I mean, I would have never known my music would actually have healing qualities to it if I hadn't come out with my very first album in 2002. That really my neighbor kind of challenged me. He was a professional drummer, and he just said, "Dude, you've been talking about making an album. Let's do it. I'll help produce it. I'll play drums. I got a buddy who'll give us a bro deal on studio time. Let's go make an album." And so we did. And that album ended up changing my life.
nice, nice. And so you have become this person that you might not have been able to predict 25 years ago.
No,
And you're
definitely
excited.
not.
And you're looking good. It looks good on you. So, you know, it must be working. Well, so let's step into the energy aspects of it a little bit more. You know, you said you referred in our conversation earlier about energy disruptors and you know things in our environment that sort of mess with us and what is so important for you about learning to be aware of those negative energy disruptors and how what can we do about that? How can we rise above that?
Well, it's interesting because let's go back to the analogy of the guitar. What puts the strings out of tune? You know, and that's where we really have to look at. And there are really two primary avenues. There are two groups, shall we say, of things that put us out of tune, of energy disruptors that literally put us into a state of disharmony. The first one is what we kind of talked about in our previous discussion, was that every day we're being exposed to potentially up to over 80,000 man-made chemicals in our air, food, and water. We literally have created all these chemicals that have permeated every aspect of our life, the air we breathe, you know, from cars and smog and all these different things, the water that we drink, the chemicals and that have, you know, they're putting chlorine and fluoride, Lord knows what else in water. We're taking showers with it. I mean, and then of course there's our food with preservatives and these different things. So we literally have saturated our environment with chemicals. And just in case that's not enough, you know, we all have these wonderful little inventions now that we keep so close to us that we can't go through life without.
Can't
that
go to
are
the bathroom.
actually, yeah, that are actually disruptive in themselves. They produce a disruptive, energetic, EMFs, Wi-Fi, smart meters, 5G, 4G, 3G, all these different things we're being bombarded with constantly in our environment. And so what the scientists that I got connected with, the gentleman from NASA, was they were looking at what is happening with these energy disruptions and how are they impacting our health, our levels of consciousness, and how it is that we function as human beings in the world. Because literally, it's putting us out of tune, basically like we were talking about. It's putting us into a state of disharmony. And that's really just the first avenue. And then on top of that, the most powerful disruptor of them all are the stories, the beliefs, the thoughts of I'm not good enough, I don't deserve, life has to be hard, who am I to be talented, wonderful, awesome, and beautiful, and all these different aspects that all of us to one degree or another have these belief structures that we've ingrained within the operating system software of our minds, within our bodies, within our energy fields, that put the instrument out of tune, that put us into a state of disharmony. And we wonder why we struggle, So the first step, really, and it's kind of the first step of my work, is you have to tune your energy. You have to find a way to rise above these negative influences in your environment so that you can connect in to a deeper aspect of who and what you are. Because when we're stressed out, when we're in fight or flight syndrome or whatever you want to call it, it's very hard to operate optimally when you're in that particular state. And the thing is that we're in that state every day, and we don't even realize it because it's become the norm.
And so if that's the sea we swim in, it's hard to notice that there's anything that we could do about it. Like
Absolutely.
it's like if I'm just sort of constantly stressed, then I just sort of think, well, that's just the way life is, and I just keep going on and like doing the best I can and grasping at whatever moments of peace or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, at least I had that 10 minutes of meditation this morning. It's like, whew. And then, but that's it. There's no real hope for transcending this situation overall because we're not even aware of it.
Well, and absolutely. And I think we're becoming more and more aware of it. Obviously, look at like organic foods and these different things that have really come in the last 5 to 10 years, much more prevalent. We're realizing the importance of drinking good water with proper pH balance and eating good quality foods and taking care of ourselves and minimizing things that we're exposed to. And we're feeling the results of of taking on that step.
At least a lot of people are, but there's also a lot of people that aren't. There's a lot of people that's not even, that's a luxury to even consider. It's just too much to go to that health food store. It's just too expensive. And so, there's so many people that don't even, like, there's no capacity whatsoever for getting beyond their lives, And so I'm sorry to interrupt there, but I was just kind of thinking, yes, and there the bigger picture is that, here we are looking at, tribes of people who are so disenfranchised, they are literally preferring to fight each other than to look for some way that we could actually, see ourselves as one people, one species on the planet that's literally in peril. And how can we come together to work together on problems, And so it's just kind of like, yeah, some of us are kind of aware that there's ways to be healthier. And one of my questions is, how can we reach out to all of those other folks that aren't don't have as much spare time as we do to actually study some of these things and learn, oh, I could eat this combination of foods together and my body would be healthier. When some people are out there working three jobs and, are you fucking kidding me? I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't say that on a summit, right? But it's like, how do I survive? So many people are literally in survival mode.
Well, and that's true. And I think it's more important that more and more of us every day step in and make these changes because that becomes a catalyst for transformation and change. Who we are being, how it is that we're living, and how it is that we share our music in the world becomes a catalyst that impacts other people and can lift people to new heights. And I think It's yes, there are certainly people out there who might have challenges or not even be aware of such things, you know. But yet there is an increasing awareness that's taking place. There is a consciousness shift that's taking place on the planet. Is it happening as fast as we'd like it to happen? Well, you know, probably not. But you know what? Things never unfold to our time schedule anyways. You
Right.
know, I think that the key piece is for each and every one of us to be responsible for who we are, what we are, how we take care of ourselves, and how it is that we move forward in expressing our authenticity and expressing who and what we are. That's the
Yeah.
thing that's going to change the planet. If we're sitting around waiting for political institutions or whatever, educational institutions to create positive change on the planet, we might be waiting a long time.
Oh,
And
yeah.
so, you know, I really believe
Yeah,
that it's really up to each of us.
I agree completely, and I think that's really my point, is that the power that you wield with your heart and with your experience and with your guitar is the kind of power that can reach across the political, you know, it's that, I mean, it's like the power of sound, it seems to me, is so profound that it can transcend all of these challenges, you know,
Well, and
it can reach
that's the
everyone.
beauty of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's in essence kind of what I'm doing. And so when people say, well, you're like a sound healer, I say, well, not really, because sound healing is a whole field in itself where you produce a certain tone that's tuned to a certain frequency that has an inherent response upon the listener. So in essence, from when I got connected to the gentleman from NASA, he discovered these frequencies in my music that eliminate the negative effects of all the disruptors in our environment. That's how I started in this field. I started doing music that would reduce stress and enhance mental performance, enhance the body's ability to heal, and open up to people to higher levels of consciousness. And so that's what happens when you eliminate these disruptors and start tuning the strings, is that you start opening up to new possibilities. So, you know, in essence, I started using music as this tool to be able to get the energy work that I do out into the world. So, in essence, it's kind of like a vehicle, because obviously I can't be everywhere, you know, all the time, you know. So, but hey, music can. And the beauty of it, like you mentioned, is it bypasses that whole left brain, critical thinking, ego mind stuff that's the cause of all our troubles in the world today, anyways. And it
Right.
allows the ability to create the space for change and transformation without even getting that aspect involved.
Right,
And
right.
it allows us to be able to optimize our energy. And we are energetic beings. I mean, quantum physics has completely redefined how it is that we view ourselves. And we realize that we are this amazing field of energy expressing itself. And the more that we restore harmony and tune those strings, the more we open up to playing beautiful music, and the more that that beautiful music has the capability and the ability to transform the lives of others, for the other
Yeah.
people that are in our presence, that are around us, that are our families, our communities, our workplaces, and stuff like that. And that's how we're going to continue to, in my mind anyways, my own personal belief, that's how
No,
we're going to help lift humanity up.
I agree completely. That's the essence of the summit idea, is that sound and heart and love and that spirit that you are so powerfully expressing on this interview, as that moves out through sound and music, that is the energy of connection. You know, it's that's the energy of enwholing and harmonizing and you know, and including. And you know, I'd love to hear a story or two from your experience as a you know, doing, you mentioned keynote concerts and things like, you know, when you're presenting these ideas and you're using your guitar, or maybe even now, like if you had something that you'd like to play or share, you know, using that tool as well, it'd be fun to hear.
Well, I mean, there's certainly all kinds of avenues that we could go down. The thing I don't know is how well the guitar is going to sound through your
Okay.
platform that you're recording on.
Right.
So
Right.
sometimes they
Right.
have like noise cancelers and
Oh,
stuff like
right.
that, which will just butcher the sound.
Yeah, okay. Well, we don't need to do that.
I didn't put up my studio to record it separately. So my bad there.
No. But I would love to hear a story about, you know, how this stuff that you're talking about, how you've seen it work in when you share it in the world.
Well, it's interesting because as I started learning more and more about this, I mean, it was really beneficial for me to have an opportunity to hang with a quantum physicist from NASA. This guy had more letters after his last name than his last name itself. And so it really fueled a curiosity on my part to get an understanding of energy, consciousness, how it is that we function in the world, how it is that we can expand and remember who we really are. I started doing session work with people. Initially, my first phase was to, and it's still kind of a foundational piece. There's three steps that I take people through in my work. Number one is you have to tune your energy, and that's where we rise above the negative influences in our environment. And so I have a musical series where people can play the music in their environment and basically eliminate the negative effects of these disruptors in their space. And as a result, dramatically reduce their stress and anxiety, increase their physical energy so they're stronger, they operate more on an optimal level physically, actually shifts the brain waves where their memory, their focus, their creativity, their intuition are dramatically enhanced. It's amazing what happens when you restore harmony to your brain waves. It also puts the body in a state where it can self-heal much more efficiently because it's accessing information from this field of energy to rebuild itself, to heal itself, to keep itself in an optimal level. So this was initially the first step was about tuning energy. And then where it really started to shift was in the next level of harmonizing your energy. And that's where we start dealing with these internal programs that really impact us all to one degree or another. And I've always been kind of a coach. And so I love to do one-on-one session work. I do a lot of session work today in a group environment or one-on-one where I work with people in shifting past their negative reoccurring patterns that they're experiencing in their lives. I mean, we've all had these experiences where we have some sort of situation in our life that no matter what we do, we can't seem to break through it or move beyond it. And so in doing work with people like that. In fact, I'll share my very first example
Yeah, I was
was
going to ask.
I was doing a session with a young lady who came to me with a very interesting common issue that no matter for the last 10 years, no matter what I do, I keep dating the same kind of man. You know, not supportive, not respectful. You know, I'm tired of this pattern. I don't know how to change it. I've done all these different programs.
Know why I do this. Why do I do this?
Yeah, why does it keep happening? And so, over the course of doing this work, I've been able to kind of like hear where people are out of tune. It's like on one level, she wanted to create this, but on another level, I kept hearing this undertone of like resentment and like there wasn't forgiveness. There was somebody that needed to be forgiven. So I dove in, and it ended up that she had a very rocky relationship with her father. And, I asked her a question. I said, "Are you open and willing to forgive your dad?" And she said, "Yeah, I am." I said, "Okay, I got this great idea. I'm going to create a piece of music for you on the fly, and with the intention of forgiveness behind it." And so I literally, on the call, video call, kind of like what we're doing, played music, recorded it in the studio, and I sent it to her. I said, "Okay, let's do an experiment. I want you to play this music in your space as much as you can, and let's just see what happens. Let's see what opens up for you." So she literally called me 3 days later. She goes, "Mark, you are not going to believe this." She goes, "My dad called me today out of the blue." And he says to me, he goes, "You know what? 10 years, way too long to have unresolved stuff between us. Are you open to sitting down and talking about reconciliation and forgiveness?" She goes, "You don't understand, Mark. My dad's like macho man dude. He would like never do anything like that. It's like totally out of his wheelhouse." I said, "You know, the biggest lesson that we all need to learn is that the outer world is a reflection of the inner. This is the most elaborate, beautiful matrix ever created, where you have an opportunity to experience yourself in the world around you through what shows up. And when you have obstacles, it's really an opportunity to learn, to grow, to evolve, and to take your life to the next level." And I said, "You set the intention to forgive your dad. You worked with this energy and this vibration to build this forgiveness frequency within yourself. And lo and behold, what shows up? An opportunity to forgive the man who needed to be forgiven in order for her to break the pattern of these reoccurring negative relationships that she was experiencing. Because in reality, what she was doing was creating relationships with her dad in an attempt to heal what needed to be healed.
Right, right. Kept wanting to bring it up so that it could be healed. And I'd like to also, that's such a beautiful story. I really appreciate that. And what one of the things that I noticed about that is that there was a moment in there, I imagine, I guess it's, I'm not going to assume, but I'm asking. So in that moment, when you're in that coaching session with her and she's saying these things, I'm imagining, I'm curious if you went through this process in yourself. It's like, what can I do to help this person? What can I do to support her to move in the direction that she most wants to go in her life? You know, she wants to get beyond this barrier. What can I do? You know, what can I do, Mark, that can make it possible for her to go through that channel? And then you got this idea. Right. And so that to me is that moment of improv where you're like, there's this unknown, there's this challenge, and you don't know how to get to the other side, but you know that there is a way.
Right.
And right. And so you, I imagine that you, at some point you're like, your heart is with her and you're like figuring like, okay, how, what is the way here? What's the way forward? And you thought, I could do a little song that involves forgiveness and let her listen to it and, you know, take her intention and load it with this song and see what happens. You know, it was this, you expressed it yourself. It's like, you were curious too. It's like, I don't know what will happen, but you know, it seems like a viable option.
Well, you know, it's funny because it was kind of spurred by a conversation that I had with Dr. Jones when we were talking about energy disruptors and the stuff in our environment and everything. And he asked me one day, what's the most powerful disruptor in the universe, Mark? And I said, I don't know, radiation, you know, something like that. He said, no, it's our own limiting thoughts, beliefs, and perceptions. He said, our thoughts, our beliefs, and our perceptions, the thoughts that we focus upon, the beliefs about ourselves and the world that we live in, our perceptions that we have about our experience, they masterfully outpicture on the movie screen of your life experience. He said, the biggest thing is that people are trying to change out there and they wonder why they can't change it. You can't change out there. You have to change in here. If you want to change the outer world, you have to change within yourself. And this is completely, what is it? Bass ackwards or whatever, than how we've all been taught in school,
right,
and raised. You know, we're told, oh, you know, we got to go out there and change it out there. You can't do it. It
yeah.
wasn't until she made that difference. And then it's also into your point about listening to those creative ideas. That one session became a huge part of the foundation of my work. And in talking about improvisation, I call these pieces musical mantras, by the way, and they're musical pieces with a different intention, but they're all composed on the fly. No prep. In that session, I said, I'm going to play a piece of music with the intention of forgiveness. And it was almost like the guitar played me. And what came out was a piece of music I'd never played before. And I recorded it, even with all its little imperfections and maybe a buzz here or there or whatever, I recorded it. And then from there, I literally built a library of hundreds of pieces with different intentions behind them, to release and dissipate, to forgive, to awaken, to build your knowing, to increase faith and trust, forgiveness work, all these different aspects. And I still to this day use those pieces in my session work, use those pieces in my musical series for people who want to change their internal programming and step into the next greater version of who and what they are.
That is so amazing. That's so amazing. And so this treasure trove, literally, of possibility for people to draw on. I love that story. And it's, and to me, that's another testament, like you're saying, of, I mean, I'm just sort of seconding, you know, that's this testament to the power of an idea. You know, you had this one idea that was spurred by a conversation that you had with somebody back at NASA sometime before. And it was a conversation that y'all had. And then that sort of helped to spark this idea, which helped to facilitate this transformation in one person, which led to a whole bunch of other possibilities. So, like, you know, that one conversation led to potential huge amounts of transformation in the world.
Well, it really opened up to the discovery of a tool, of a process, of an approach that could help people to rise above the negative influences in their environment, let go of their old programming, but also integrate higher vibrational frequencies that could lift them up to new heights, to literally expand them into a new level of consciousness and awareness. Even with just the music and the environment and having that clearer connection, people would just thought, oh, you know what, maybe I shouldn't do that anymore. Maybe I shouldn't do this reoccurring, bad habit of, eating fast food or something on a weekly basis or something. And they would just get these insights that would further support them in moving forward. Now, with the
Maybe
belief issue, you have to have the person needs to be involved. It's a free will universe. And so people have to be willing to let go of their stuff. That young lady had to be willing to set the intention to forgive her dad. One of my favorite emails of all time was from a woman. She says, "Is there any way that you could make a song to make my husband a better man?" I'm like going, "Sheesh, move over, Michael Jackson. I'd be retired, by now if that was the case." And I'm like kind of going, "I could play the most beautiful piece of music in the
That's funny.
universe, but your husband's got to want to become a better man in order for it to work." So it's a collaborative dance between myself and between the people that engage in this technology.
Yeah, totally. And I just I'm struck by so many different aspects of your story, one of which is just the power of a small thing. The power of an idea, the power of a small thing, the power of a conversation to ripple in ways that we have no idea. We really don't know the impact we make. We really don't, we have no idea the impact that we have in the world. And it's my, one of my perspectives is that, we matter. Everything we do matters. And so it's not really a question of do I matter? It's a question of what am I, what's the impact I'm making? Or am I being who I really am? Am I making the impact in the world that I most want to make?
Absolutely.
So I can decide inside of myself, okay, so the next thing I can do can be something that is generous and loving, or it can be, protective and scared, or it's like I get to choose what I'm going to do next.
Right.
And so what you're bringing is that just such an amazing example of that. I just I'm loving hearing you speak about all this, because your experiences and your the way you articulate this power is nice. I'm enjoying it. So we have a couple more minutes, and I'd like to see if there's anything else that you'd like to say, kind of in general, about this work and what you do and how you think how you see it in terms of either your own joy and what this approach brings to you in your own life and your own family and your own community, or anything else you'd like to say about it.
Well, I think
You know,
there's a
talk about your a gift that, for people who hang out to the end, there's going to be, you're going to make an offering also, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's an inherent lesson here for all of us because this is my music. This is my authentic self. And yeah, I had to go through a lot of process work to be willing to step into it. I mean, the first time my wife told me that I was a healer, I literally ran down the hallway screaming with my fingers in my ear. It was quite pitiful. I don't want to hear nothing. That's the kind of stuff they take you out in the backyard and they tie you to a tree and they set you on fire, man. I don't want nothing to do with that stuff at all. So I had to work through a lot of my own inner issues. But I think that's really important here is that I love doing this work. I love what I do. And this is what opens up for all of us when we're true to our authentic self, when we're true to the music that's within us, is that we open up to a whole nother level of joy, happiness, and possibility, when we step into being who and what we are. And yes, it's an ongoing process. I figure until we're walking on water and raising people from the dead, there's room for improvement. So, I mean, we're constantly evolving and unfolding, but this is what opens up for us. And I always kind of end my interviews with this kind of thought. Within you is a song. It's your song. That's your authentic self. It's your purpose. It's why you came here to play the game of life, to express this into the planet. And of course, in order to play that song and that music, your strings have to be in tune. You have to restore harmony. You constantly have to work on yourself on a daily basis to make sure that you are in tune. You know, we don't just tune our guitars and our instruments once and never tune them again. We have to tune them all the time. You can play one song and the thing's out of tune. Okay, tune again. And the same principle applies to you and me in our life and our own personal development, is this is an ongoing practice to restore harmony in our experience. But it is the expression of your song, your music, out into the world that's going to open you up to a whole nother level of joy and fulfillment. But also, that's the catalyst for transformation and change on the planet. Imagine what would change in the world today if each and every one of us was true to our authentic selves and reflected and shared our music out into the world, got past all of our stories and the reasons why we can't do it or the fear of doing it, and actually to express that out into the world. It would be profound of what would happen on the planet, because it's that music, that light, that expression, that's what's going to uplift the rest of humanity to a whole new frequency wavelength. I like to use the old cosmic radio dial, you know, where you have 88.5 on one end and 108.5 on the other end, and how you can tune into new stations of possibility by moving into higher frequency ranges. And that's the possibility that unfolds for all of us when we're true to our authentic selves. Quit looking out there for something to do it for you. You have to find it within yourself. And it's
That's so beautifully put, Mark. Really, so beautifully put. And I'm delighted that we had this chance to have this more in-depth conversation. It was fun chatting with you the other day on the phone, and I could tell, and I've been able to tell for the last little while, you know, couple of 3 years that I've been kind of seeing some of your things here and there, that there's a lot of potential for resonance here. And I'm getting that much more clear, you know, the more I'm getting to know you. So I really appreciate you coming on to this summit, and really awesome to hear your take on all this stuff. And
Absolutely.
I look forward to, you know, more connection down the road. And I know that now we're sort of coming to the end. You have an opportunity. I'd love for you to share an offering that you would like to make to the summit audience here, and so that maybe they can connect more to your work.
Absolutely. Well, I put together a little free gift, and it's just an opportunity to start stepping into experiencing what happens when you tune your energy. So I put together one of my favorite tracks of music. It's called The Journey. It's really kind of about the journey through life, but it's a great piece that literally, if you push play, let's say you're stressed out, you're having a tough day or whatever, just feeling down or struggling in one way or another, you can push play on that track and breathe through it, and you can shift your state instantly. You can move yourself to a higher frequency, so to speak. So it's a little track of music to support you as you kind of go through your twists and turns of your own human experience. And then there's also a little guided meditation to help you re release and dissipate stress out of the body, out of your state of mind. Because, you know, we get so stressed out in our lives and freaked out about different things and stuff, and you can't create anything optimal from that space. So it's like a little, basically like a little toolkit on how you can release some of those different things and kind of de-stress yourself. Plus, there's a little special report on how you can eliminate the negative effects of all the disruptors that we were talking about earlier and really start stepping into the benefits of what can open up for you by tuning your energy field and how you can feel better, how you can revitalize your health, and how you can just operate at a higher level. We're meant for so much more. And so it's kind of a little free gift to kind of get you started and to have an opportunity to stick your toe in the water, so to speak, and see what can open up for you when you start shifting your energy.
That's so great. I mean, that's a heck of a lot of value for basically just a little bit of your time. That could totally change your day just right there, and a week, and perhaps a life. So that's awesome, Mark. Thank you for all of this. I really am so grateful that you were willing to get onto this thing. This is my first summit. I basically don't know what I'm doing, but I knew it would be fun to get a bunch of incredible people together and just talk to. And you know, this is, I think there is, like you're saying, there is a lot of potential in this, and it's an option that's available to humans now that wasn't really even available 50 years ago. And so this is really, really good stuff. And I'm really glad to be in a community with you. So thank you again. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
All right, you too, man.